Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Greg Hill Show is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Ram Power Days. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
I'm telling you, if I'm Antonio Brown, I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole. And I say that because this team isn't very good anymore.
Well, it appears that Teddy Bruschi is, I'm guessing from his tweet this morning, is taking umbrage with the way those comments are being received. And we have, luckily we have Rob Ninkovich here because Rob is an individual who used to play for this team and therefore can explain why, when it comes to you guys, you move into the broadcast industry and then are somehow, I guess, afraid of Bill Belichick still, or afraid of saying anything that is negative about the organization. So Teddy Bruschi has tweeted this morning at 7:59 a.m., words get twisted.
And then followed up and he continued, somebody explain, you sounded like you said the Patriots aren't good anymore. And he replied, speaking as if I'm Antonio Brown and what his thought process might be. Hashtag Bill called, I'm in trouble.
Pivot. What a pivot.
I mean, can we hear, the audio seems pretty plain as day to me, but can we hear again what he said when speaking with OMF this week?
I'm telling you, if I'm Antonio Brown, I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole. And I say that because this team isn't very good anymore.
That is Antonio Brown.
And I say that because this team isn't that good anymore.
If he meant from AB's perspective, he would have said in AB's eyes.
As a former player and a Patriot, I'm thinking maybe Teddy is looking at this in a sense of there's no Tom Brady anymore. So maybe as a receiver and your outlook on the Patriots wouldn't be as, I guess, bright when you look at the Patriots with a Cam Newton at quarterback versus a Tom Brady. I know, and I said this before, like right when Tom left, I said it's going to be hard to recruit some of these receivers to come here now that there's not Tom Brady, because Tom Brady, like, you don't even really have to think too much. You hear Tom Brady, you're like, greatest quarterback, unbelievable quarterback, chance at the Super Bowl. We have a chance with Tom to get to the Super Bowl. And when you hear Cam Newton, I don't think that name doesn't have that same power as Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I mean, you think Tom Brady, Tampa, the second Tom Brady went to Tampa, people were just going nuts. Like, we're going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
So I think maybe Teddy was saying, as a receiver that's looking to go to a team, he's not looking at the Patriots with a good option at quarterback to get the ball where you need to that's what you're doing as a receiver. You got to catch the football. You got to have somebody throw it to you. So
I think what Teddy was saying was, in his opinion, this team is not that good anymore.
Right.
And I think he should own the comment.
Yeah, and I think that what the point is that if you play with Tom Brady, you win Super Bowls. If you play with Cam Newton, you get COVID.
I mean, the hard thing for me, I have been in a situation with the Patriots in the past where we were 2-2, and it was doom and gloom, and we were going to suck, and everything was going downhill, and we were the worst team yet, and we're not coming back from this. And then we went to the Super Bowl. So it's still early for me to jump on that, like, the Patriots aren't a good team right now. Like, it's hard for me to say that.
It's too early for you to say that now.
It's too early.
Thank God somebody is saying that, because I agree with you.
It's too early to say that they're not a good team.
The sky has been falling this week.
It has. And it's just and
they lost to the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos, they have a pretty good defense, Curtis.
They had 2 weeks to prepare for a team that was out and didn't practice for a week or 2 weeks. And they all they did for 2 weeks was practice against, okay, this is what we're going to do to the Patriots. And they went out there and they – hats off to the Broncos. They did a great job. Their defense played well. They put pressure on. They did a lot of blitzing 40% of the time. So they did well. Offensively, they sucked. You know, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
The Broncos, they sucked. They didn't score. They didn't score any touch. They didn't score a touchdown. They weren't able to put the ball in the end zone. So if at any point you ask me, if you ask me this question, will the Patriots win if they don't give up a touchdown? I say
you would say absolutely
1,000%. How much should I put on it? I think I'd win every bet if they asked me that question. So, at this particular point in the season, I can't sit here and say that the Patriots aren't a good football team yet, because what I've seen is kind of Jekyll and Hyde. They were.
But you're Wiggy. It's Jekyll. It's Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. All right, sorry. Is it catty or kitty corner? Catty corner or kitty corner?
You're really
it's kitty corner.
You're really taking filling in for Wiggy seriously.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Right, it's Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. Yes. Whatever. I'll go in between. Jekyll.
Jekyll.
When you look at the team early in the season, they ran the football well. They had control of the ball, time of possession, throwing the ball well. So
yes.
You look at Seattle, they threw the ball down the field.
So you say throwing the ball well against Seattle. I say throwing the ball well against Seattle. And then the naysayers text in and they say,
the worst defense.
Seattle,
it's the worst pass defense
in the NFL.
Let's put it this way. Bring me on after the 49ers game. I guarantee that it's going to be a different team against the 49ers.
You guarantee it.
I guarantee. They're going to look. After last week, Bill came in, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but I've been to a lot of meetings in my day. And he's going to say, look, this is not good enough.
You got to do it in the Bill voice.
I can't do it right now because I have a mask on.
Because you're wearing the gator. Because your wife told you have to wear a gator, and you can't do the Belichick impression.
Let's be safe. So okay. Bill's coming in. He's saying, this week, everyone focus on what you have to do to make this team better. We're going to focus. Each and every player is going to go out there. We're going to practice. We're going to work on ball security. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to go out here all week, and we're going to do the right things. We're going to have a good week of practice, and we're going to have a good game plan against the 49ers. And he's going to come up with three things that we need to do to stop the 49ers to win. And the number one is Kittle. You can't let Kittle beat you. So it's going to be trying to stop Kittle. They have the players defensively that can stop Kittle. They can put somebody on him. They'll jam him at the line. They'll slow him down. Number two is going to stop the run. If you can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day. So stop Kittle, number one. Number two, stop Kittle. And number three, hit Jimmy G. Those are the three things you got to do to beat the 49ers.
When you hear Bill gushing about Kittle, essentially calling him the best to ever play the position.
I don't get why he's doing that.
Do you think that's a shot at Gronk?
It seems like a little shot. It seems a little like jab. Just like
I love it.
Just like the gushing on Cam, like the hardest worker. I've never seen anyone work so hard. It's like, well, I've never really seen you or heard you be that polite. He was that compliment. He complimented me like that on my retirement day.
That's the only time he complimented me. That was insane, Nink.
What was that all about? I remember that like it was yesterday. He went on for a half hour. He didn't even do that when like Troy Brown retired.
I felt great. It was great. I was retiring. So I just think that it may be a slight little jab there, which it seems a little unnecessary. But Kittle is good. I mean, he is. You can't argue with the fact that Kittle is the best tight end in the game right now. I personally think that he is the best. He's better than Kelce. in the running game. He can block. He's tough. He's got a little bit of craziness to him to where when he gets hit, he's going to jump up and scream a little bit. So for me, I like him as the number one tight end in the league right now. Now, best ever, it's still Gronk to me.
When it comes to Cam Newton throwing the ball, because a lot of talk about that this week too.
He looks like he's having like a little spasm or something, and he's kind of like he like looks away. He turns his head completely to wing it down the field. It's like his mechanics. He just wings the football. It's like he turns his shoulders the opposite way, drops his arm, and just slings it out there. It looks odd. Like, does it look any different now than it did week one? I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, he certainly is missing guys here and there who appear to be open.
But that also comes, like, could it be from the time off and him not seeing the field and not making those throws in practice? Because you lose it pretty quickly. If you're not out there, you're not throwing the ball to everybody and running the routes and doing 7-on-7s, like, you're going to lose it. But I think it's just the way that he does it. It's just like a spastic throw, you know. So it could be the pressure. He was getting hit. But, again, like I said, the 49ers I feel is going to be a huge test because now at this point, like early in the season, there was really not much pressure on everybody because it was, oh, we win. Yeah, we beat Miami. Then you lose a really close one in Seattle where everyone was like, oh, this was a win, but we lost, but it was a win.
Moral victory.
It was a moral victory. We lost this game, but we won this game. And then you look at it now and you're like, okay, well, after the Denver game, everyone's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So this is going to be the biggest game that they have had in a long time. This is the biggest game for the Patriots in a very long time. If you go 2-4, it's not good.
2-4 is in October is something that the organization is not very familiar with.
No, not at all.
Do you think Tom Brady is different this season than he was here?
I mean, it's got to be stressful.
Curtis, I know it pains you to hear this question.
I personally think that his skill set hasn't declined. When I watch him playing, I still see him throwing the ball really well. I still see him checking the team into the right plays. Yeah, I know he forgot the fourth freaking down thing. It's okay. He's human. Yeah, guess what? He's human. But I don't see a decline. I think the hardest part for him is just being in a new environment, a new coach. He's with a coach that honestly, like, what is Bruce Arians doing? Like, he throws interceptions. Like, yeah, I called a great play on that one. Tom sucked. He threw that ball right to the guy. That's all on Tom. Like, I've never heard a head coach say, yeah, that's all on him. That's not on me. Or like, yeah, Gronk spiked it with his left shoulder because his right one, he hurt his labrum or he's got a dislocation on his right shoulder. So don't hit him too hard on the right side because he's really dealing with a shoulder injury, everybody. Like, what is he? He's giving everybody... Oh, I guess Gronk has a bad right shoulder now. Yeah. He can't spike the ball.
Just give everybody a heads up on that.
It was from giving Greg that massage with the CBD oil. He messed himself up.
That's got to be the toughest thing for Tom is he had Bill Belichick as his head coach for so long, and Bill is on top of every situation. He's on top of everything that could possibly come up. And at the end of a bad loss, like Bill does a great job of redirecting all that back to the coaching staff, like, well, we got to do a better job. Everybody's got to do a better job. I got to do a better job coaching, giving the guys the right things to go out there and succeed. Like, Bruce is just like, yeah, Tom sucked. Tom threw that pick. You know, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, I don't know what he was doing. That's got to be the hardest thing for Tom. So the difference for Tom now is I don't think he's got the head coach that you can count on in a particular situation. Like, after a loss, you know, getting the team back or during the game, making a right call, you know, Bill is going to, for the majority of the time, is going to make the right move when he has to.
So do you think he regrets his decision?
I don't think he regrets his decision because he still wanted to play football. I think that his time here, he was here a long time. He decided to step away because there was probably contract terms he didn't agree to. The Patriots are at a different point in where they wanted to go. So he wanted to go and find a place with the most amount of weaponry. And Tampa's got a bunch of weapons now. I mean, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, so you can't really fault Tom for, okay, the first couple weeks he struggled. Well, he played a good defense against the Saints who were licking their chops to play Tom Brady. Like, you got to believe that whole offseason when they saw that schedule come out, they're like, all right, we got Tampa week one. We're going to go out there and fly around. So not having the time with an offense that you could see that. You could see that. But
I don't know. Are you a reader?
I read, yeah.
Did you read Dynasty?
I did not read Dynasty.
Okay. I don't. I mean, it seems like if you take Dynasty, what's in Dynasty at its word as being accurate, that, you know, Tom went after 2018 to Mr. Kraft and said, you know, let me go, and Mr. Kraft didn't say let him go. Don't you think that the majority of Tom's issues, and it's interesting in light of this week, don't you think the majority of his issues all stem back to Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think it's tough when you're in the NFL as an older player, and I can speak from my personal experience with having young kids coming in that they draft to take your spot, and you're still the starter, you're still the guy, but they expect you to just continue as usual of being the great productive player and help the young guy come and take your job. And I mean, I could think back to all the guys they drafted high, you know, Jermaine Cunningham, Jake Beckett, you know, they bring in, who did they bring in from the Browns?
Jamie Collins?
No, the DN. They signed him.
The first round pick.
Assured. Like, they bring in guys. They paid him more than I was making. You know, it's like, oh, I'm the starter. He's making more than me. He's supposed to be my backup. Like, how's that work? There's constantly throughout your career, they're trying to replace you. They want to get a younger guy in there that's cheaper to where they can just say, thank you for your service. Move on. This is a business. So I think that for Tom, he's like, no, I'm still the guy. I still can do all these things. I'm still winning football games. I'm winning Super Bowls. So I'm not ready to go. Just like you look at the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they draft a first round quarterback. Like, Aaron's probably sitting there like, what? I'm still really good right now. And I know that they haven't had the weaponry and receiving core. They don't have anybody on offense. And, you know, until they just faced Tampa, he was undefeated and looking really, really, really good. So,
yeah. So not
I agree that could have been a part in the start of the end, start to the end.
It's obviously a part. I just think it was the thing.
It could have been the thing.
I don't think it was the money. I don't think it was the respect. I guess it's
the power of the women.
No, it was also Greg. It was after the 2017 season that he said this to Kraft, and that's after the Super Bowl that they lost because Butler didn't play, and he said, "I'm done with him. I don't want to be here." And that's when Kraft said, "Well, we're not going to let you go." Because that year was when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo in October, middle of the season, to the San Francisco 49ers.
And I think that getting the mindset of Tom Brady from an NFL player point of view, what you're giving is good, because you don't want you're basically told, hey, here's your replacement, train him up.
I mean, just like Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback in Miami. They draft Tua, number one overall. You know that he's coming to replace you at some point, but you don't expect it week six. Like, after you've earned the respect of your teammates to come in and you're actually getting the team to go in the right direction, and you're literally blowing a team out because they didn't score a point and they put in the rookie to take the last five snaps and then they replace you. Like, that's got to be tough. And you're sitting on the sidelines with the tablet and you're showing them, look, this is cover two. This is cover three. If this guy goes here, throw this. Throw the flat. If it's cover, if it's man and your number one receiver runs a vertical, throw the flat route because there's nobody in the flat. So you're telling this kid all the stuff on the sideline. And then that same week, they're like, hey, I appreciate all those tips. He's going to start next week.
Nice job winning two in a row.
Yeah.
But just
come on,
yes. coach him up.
Coach him up. Help him up. And if he's struggling, like now here's the thing, and then I've said this before as well. When you replace a quarterback like this whole Miami situation, you're not going to go back. So unless Tua gets hurt, they're not going to bench him. Even if he's terrible, they're not going to say, all right, let's put him out there. He's not playing well. Let's bring Fitzpatrick back in. Because Fitzpatrick's going to be sitting there like, back of his head, he's like, I hope this kid sucks. Throw a pick. He's not going to say throw a touchdown. He's going to be like, throw a pick. He threw a pick. Put me in there. And it's a weird situation. So it's human nature. When you're in a competitive environment and you feel that you're not in the right position, you want to go and you want to be able to prove yourself and go play. You just want to play. You just want to get on the field. And in 2007, I was with the Miami Dolphins. They were 0-10. And I was active on that team when the Patriots were undefeated and just killing every team they were playing. I went up and I tried to talk to the head coach and say, look, can I get on the field? Can I play at any point? He's like, Cam Cameron. He's like, hey, Rob, look, we got the guys that we feel are giving us the best chance to win. And I was looked at him. I said, we're 0-10. What are you talking about? Like, this doesn't make sense to me. So there's a lot of things in the NFL that don't make sense. Yeah. It doesn't, because it's political, it's money, it's draft status. It's mm-hmm. there's positions that you don't get it. Why would Green Bay draft a first-round quarterback? I don't know.
Yeah.
Why would Miami replace Tua with Fitzpatrick? I don't know.
You don't know.
Why would the Patriots bring in Garoppolo when Tom is at his prime and hope that Tom would be a good sport and say, hey, Tom, could you take the 17 years of your experience and all those situational awareness plays and give him the Jimmy so he can come in and take your job? Like,
Curtis is going from 6 to midnight in the other room.
No, I'm actually really interested, Rob, in how that relationship was. You were on that team for those first three years with Jimmy G when he was drafted. What was their relationship like?
Well, I see, that's the hard part, because I'm a defender. I'm not in that room every day. I'm not in the offensive meetings, but what I could imagine it was is very professional, because Tom is a professional and Tom's a competitor. So, you know, is when you're in that position, just like when I was with the young guys that are in my position trying to take my job, like, you're cordial. You're not being an ass. You're cordial. You're doing your best to do the best on the field for yourself, because you want to try and put the team in a good position, because you want to win and you want to be successful. So you're not going to sabotage anything and not give a kid. Because I remember when I was a rookie, we had Charles Grant, and Charles Grant was a starting defensive end for the Saints. We had Will Smith, who isn't with us anymore. We had Will Smith. They were the starters, and I feel like they saw me and they're like, they didn't take him here to replace me. He's going to run
there's
down. There's no way he's replacing us. So they were really nice to me. Like, they took me out to dinner. They took me to a couple places in New Orleans I can't speak about. You know, it was a very fun time.
Wait, you can't speak about the places he went to either.
It was a very fun time. They actually took me to, it was like this restaurant. I don't know. I was the only Caucasian in there, but it was really great food. And it was really, I felt embraced by them. So when I was older, I tried to do my best, even if I knew this guy was probably trying to take my job. A rookie isn't taking my, I don't care who you are. I'm too good of a player, and I know too many things for a rookie to come take my job. So the first year, I'm not really worried about it. You know, the second and third year is when they want that guy to take your job. Because,
but do you feel like being there, what Curtis is asking essentially is, do you think Tom Brady was like that? Do you think Tom Brady felt that way about Jimmy G? Like, I'm gonna do
I don't
my
think
bit.
Tom was ever probably I don't think Tom was rude. I don't think Tom was not a good teammate ever. I think he's always been, he understands the value of building a good locker room and having good teammates. But I also don't think that he was going to go out of his way, just like anybody, just like any football player isn't going
to
go
to train his replacement.
Yeah, to train your replacement. Yeah. Like, hey, why don't you come over to my house and I'll go over all these plays with you and help you with the offense. Like, no, it's like, hey, I learned all this stuff on my own. If you're going to try and come here and take my job, you're going to have to outperform me and learn it all on your own too. And if you ask me a question about a certain play, yeah, I'll tell you what it is, but I'm not going to sit down and grab your hand and be like, here,
and hold your hand through the
I'm
whole
not going to hold your hand and be like, take my job. This is how you, this is how you do
how
it.
You do
this
it.
Is what you do. Like, no
that's
way.
I'm sure it's like
it's
that in every, it's like
a,
that
it's
in every workplace. Yes.
You know, if I came here to work on the radio and be like, hey, Greg, how do I do this reading? Like,
how do I take your job? I would tell you. I don't care. I'm ready to play golf. All right. We are going to talk with Christian Fourier coming up in just a little bit from the afternoon show. But before that, we got to get to Danielle and what is trending.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier every Monday afternoon. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Awaken 180. Sample how tasty losing weight can be with the Awaken 180 approved freshly prepared meals at all Roche Brothers and Brothers Marketplace locations. Weight loss is never bland with Awaken 180 weight loss. The Tampa Bay Rays evened up the World Series last night following a 6-4 win over the Dodgers that was led by Brandon Lowe's 2 home runs. Game 3 of the World Series set for tomorrow night at 8:08 p.m. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, with Antonio Brown's suspension eligible to end after Week 8, the Seattle Seahawks and a few other anonymous teams are expected to make a push to sign him. Curtis's lead this morning was talking about Teddy Bruschi on OMF yesterday, and we have talked about it throughout the show this morning. Teddy said he doesn't feel New England is worth AB's time because if he were AB, he wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole. Bruschi then went on to clarify that he allegedly meant to say that was from AB's perspective and not his own.
Right, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins have named rookie QB Tua Tagovailoa.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As Miami's starter going forward, and when asked about the timing of the move, Ryan Fitzpatrick told the media that it broke his heart. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
The Christian overtime has come, and you know that you're the only one to say, okay. Where you going, what you looking for? You know those boys don't wanna play no more with you. It's true.
Christian Fourier is brought to you on this show by Shaw's, and you should text Shaw's, S-H-A-W-S, for those of you who are challenged when it comes to spelling, to the text line right now, which is 37937, and you will be automatically entered to win a $100 gift card for Shaw's Supermarkets, so you can get all of your game day food for Sunday, chicken wings, veggie platters, and more. Shaw's is the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Text message and data rates may apply, but just text Shaw's right now to 37937, and you'll be all set for Sunday. And I'll tell you what, Christian, some of the former professional athletes at this station should be nervous because Ninkovich is doing a stellar job this morning.
I heard him. He's very monotone, almost put me to sleep. I had to throw some water out of my face.
We all don't have that high pitched squeal of you. Christian.
I mean, high pitched squeal. Man.
There
nobody
it is.
Got my
squeal.
Nuts.
little bit of green jelly going on over here. I mean, it's unbecoming. Jealousy is unbecoming, Foyer.
Listen.
Won't
when
get
he
you anywhere.
It's a form of respect. Is what it is. Like if I didn't tease him or make
fun of him, you got to respect the younger guys.
Like
they're younger,
And for the record, he works at ESPN, so it's like he's kind of. I feel like he's slumming it with you right now, Greg. Based on the people that he usually works with on a regular basis.
I know.
Those are people with
friends.
Real
We're friends. Okay, let's not be insulting here.
Yeah. Listen, I tried to get Ninkovich to come over here when I started the show, but ESPN pays more. So
yeah,
I mean that's
yeah.
That's
and
how
he only
went.
Works like twice a week.
Isn't that how that went? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the COVID has changed some things.
It had nothing to do.
I might need a job in a year.
Oh, boy.
I just have a two-year contract.
Did the COVID lead to a reduction in salary at ESPN?
No, everything's great. Okay. It's just they go on two-year at a time deals, and if you look at Disney right now, I don't know what the income has been with this COVID thing.
And Wiggy's in Bristol right now,
trying out. Bottom line,
but here's the thing with ESPN though that they'll bring in a bunch of former athletes, and it's always funny the good guys. Rob's good. Rob, you're very good at what
you
do. We watch you all the time. The guys like Rob will stay. Like the Emmett Smiths of the world, the Jerry Rices of the world, they will come in there and they will so quickly kick them out because they don't work. Because you realize how much work actually goes into it.
It is a lot of work.
Go from I'm just going to go get my opinion and this is so easy. It's like, no, you got to put a lot of time and effort into it. It's not it's not just, hey, let me just get out of bed and just, you know, throw some random stats out there. Like, people check you all the time, and if you come out there unprepared, man, you just get pantsed.
If you say the wrong name or you say something that doesn't make sense, you have to have some validity to what you're saying, and it has to be correct. Yeah. If you say the wrong things,
like we do here,
we're fine with that.
If you say
we encourage that.
Then everyone tunes you out. Yeah. They're like, all right, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't need to listen to him.
You don't care.
You know? And being a player only gets you so far. It only gets you so far as a retired guy.
Yeah, it gets you in the door.
Foye, speaking of saying the wrong things, it appears that maybe Teddy Bruschi is walking back the comment that he made with you guys this week.
No, he's not walking back anything. I think I can understand, some of the irritation because, you know, we were asking him about Antonio Brown, and he was speaking from an Antonio Brown's perspective, not Teddy Bruschi's perspective. So I think there's something missing there from, as far as what he was saying, how he was saying it, and how it's now being perceived.
I think he was saying that this Patriots team stinks. That's what I think.
Yeah, see, exactly. So it's the Trent Dilfer. No, Antonio Brown thinks this team stinks. Antonio Brown would not be a Patriot because he thinks this team stinks. Tom's not here. They don't look good, and Bill may be great, but Tom's not here, so they're not good anymore, and they're 2-3.
You don't think AB is the answer, right? You don't want him in this.
No, I would love some more talent at the wide receiver position, but I'm just so personally done with him. I think he may be the biggest tool bag in the history of the world. But whatever, I'm not on ESPN, so I can say that, you know, and I could say how much I despise him, every part of his being, and if I was on his team, I would not want to say one word to him. I just think he's a dope.
Well, actually, the guy who's on ESPN said that OBJ is the biggest tool bag in the world earlier.
Close second.
I feel like you look at both of those players, and it's a lot of the me thing. You know, it's they want the attention, and they want the cameras. They want this. It's all about them, and it's not about the team. And we came up in an environment where it was very much so not about yourself. It's about what do you do to make a team better, the right choices you make off the field. That all comes back to you as a football player, and it can affect your team. And for both of these guys, it's affected their teams.
Yeah. I can't even imagine a guy like that. So LSU just gets fined, and they get all these suspensions, and Odell Beckham Jr. gets banned from campus for the next 2 years for which is just a total just dope move, giving out cash to all the players on the field with 100 cameras around. Like, he has a fanny pack filled with hundreds, and he's just making it rain with all these players in front of everyone to see. How unbelievably selfish are you? Like, the guys that are still there, the freshmen and sophomores, juniors who still have to play, they're the ones that are going to be suffering because now they're limited with scholarships. Now they're limited with funds. And sure as hell, it's because you just wanted to be part of the party.
But then
you're in the pros.
But then there's a considerable amount of fans, Patriots fans and otherwise, who say, I don't care what, as long as my wide receiver or whomever is talented, I don't care what they say or do.
I don't think a fan understands how important it is in team chemistry and what that can do to a team if you bring in somebody that potentially doesn't fit well. A lot of guys, you go through the process of – you go through the draft and you go through all the evaluations of a player. You want to know what type of guy they are and do they fit in with this team that you're building. And if you bring in one person or two people that potentially can go against that, it's like water and oil. It will never mix no matter what you do. There's always a line there drawn. So I just think that – in general, when you start to have these issues, it affects other people's evaluation on, is it worth bringing a guy in that could potentially tear apart a good thing? Yeah. And as a Patriot, we always had a great locker room. It was always tight knit. It was always, you know, the guys were together having a good time. And you knew that everybody had, and at the end of the day, the NFL, I get it. It's about trying to provide for your family and making the most out of the time that you have because it's limited. But at the same time, you want to have some substance at the end of your career because money is great. Yeah, money's great. But if you don't have – if you lose every year and you have no wins, you have no Super Bowls, you've never played in a playoff game, I can guarantee you that some of those old players that made a lot of money would have given up some of that to go to a good team and play in a Super Bowl or win a game that means something, because you're giving up a little bit of your life to play football. Like, we know it's not good for you mentally, and we know it's bad for your health. So at the end of the day, you want to have a legacy of winning, because no one's going to talk about your contract when you're done playing football. They're going to talk about what you did on the football field. Did you win?
Christian, earlier...
Well, hold on. Let me just respond to that real quick, because I just want to just throw something out there to Rob, because I feel like the only time you appreciate a good locker room is when you've been part of a bunch of crappy ones.
I've been a part of a couple.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I remember the first year I got here, I was like, holy cow. So teams do get it and do it right. I was floored by how, what a gap there was from what I was used to in Seattle for 7 years to when I came to New England, how unbelievably structured and just managed it was. And not by necessarily coach, but by the players. That, to me, is what stood out the most.
Well, are you surprised by the Fitzpatrick decision in Miami?
I actually am a little bit, just because he hadn't gone full disaster mode yet. Like, he'd had some good games. I mean, he threw a red zone pick against the Jets, had two picks, actually. One was a red zone pick. So you really figure, man, you should have really put 40 points on those guys, but he didn't. But they probably assumed that he hit his ceiling. And regardless of what they did, Fitzpatrick was only going to get them so far. So let's gamble a little bit, and let's throw the young guy in there. And maybe the record is the same, regardless of who's starting. But I feel like that was a situation where it was going to be like the quarterback would have to be a disaster, and the team would have to be out of the playoffs before they threw in the first-round pick. But they kind of made a bold move.
Christian, you think it's too early, and do you think that decision came from above the head coach?
Man, I don't know, but it's funny, Rob. I'm not a fan of Alabama quarterbacks in general, and I was not a huge fan of Tua based on his weapons. Like, he had, like, his whole wide receiver core got drafted, like, first round, backs and linemen. Look at the quarterback that's at Alabama right now. Go look at his stats and compare him to Tua. They're better or comparable at the least. So, to me, it's just... I felt like your best option was to ride Fitzmagic until the wheels fell off. And then when it was unbelievably obvious that he was a train wreck and he couldn't be saved like he always ends up being, then I would move to Tua.
Yeah, because you can't go back to Fitz now.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
And he's like crying. It's so weird. He's like, he's so emotional about it. It's so weird to watch it play out.
The guy's heartbroken.
It's really uncomfortable, isn't it?
It's awkward.
There's probably been plenty of times somebody's been very comfortable in a relationship, and they're just let down. Like, the gavel slammed on them. Yeah. Like, this is over. And you're like, what? I wasn't ready for this.
I thought everything was going great. What do you mean you want it? What do you mean you're serving me with divorce papers?
This is a surprise.
We just had dinner yesterday.
We just had dinner last night.
Awesome.
How long have you been planning this?
That's the issue, is you want to go back and figure out, like,
How did you miss the signs?
You didn't see this? The writing was on the wall for years.
We've been winning.
When did you start texting with Tua?
It is weird, though.
Here's your email.
Here's the weird thing, though. Like, Fitzpatrick talked about it. It is a weird, like, just situation in the NFL where they want you to become buddies and friends and create this brotherhood with your unit, with your linebacker unit, with your tight end unit, with your O-line unit. And so you become friends, and then there's always like this awkwardness sometimes, especially if you're competing for playing time and reps. And God forbid they bring some younger guy in there, then you mentor him and bring him along. And next thing you know, they say, listen, you're not playing anymore. You're basically fired. Right. And then, but keep mentoring this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Which brings us to Jimmy Garoppolo. Rob earlier guaranteed that you will see a different Patriots team on Sunday. Do you agree?
100%. Yeah. Okay. No, we said it yesterday. I think that was that's an outlier. I think there's a lot of embarrassment that goes on with the way they performed out there, regardless of what the situation and the circumstances were, Rob. It was pathetic, and I can't sugarcoat it. What I'm not going to do is give them a bunch of excuses. I can give you the reasons why, but it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, no, I was saying that I think that this week in general, and as a football player, you know when you've been embarrassed, called out, whatever, and you want to go out there, and they have a lot to prove this week. So I was saying I guarantee that they look completely different. And this game here is probably the biggest game that they are going to play in a long time. 2-4 is a lot different than 3-3.
Are you like Rob, where you see something off when it comes to Cam Newton's mechanics throwing the ball?
Oh, I thought he's all arm. He is all arm. There's no legs whatsoever. I mean, I'm going to give him a pass. I don't want to keep beating him up because I don't think he's that bad. But I thought that was one of the worst quarterback performances I had seen in a long time. Granted, you know, we had Tom Brady here, but it's not like I don't watch other quarterbacks. He was just bad. The throws that he was missing, and I think it was a compounding effect of everything that was happening, from the blitzing, for the lack of protection, for him being skittish, for the route progressions being too long, and like the bad call with you're calling plays that take too long to develop, and there's only two-man routes, and he can only watch one side of the field. I just don't think they did him any favors. I think everybody was off. I think everybody in that organization bears some of the burden for how they played. Well, we didn't get to practice. Well, I thought we weren't making excuses. I thought we weren't like blaming anybody. I thought we were just going to take it and just deal with it and then just prove you wrong. You know, but, you know, I was part of those teams back in 2002, the one team, my first year here, where we were 2-3 and we were could not get out of our own way. It is such a miserable feeling. Rob has no idea what that's like, really. Like he's
we're
he
2-2
no
once. We were 2-2
once. Yeah, so yeah, 2-2 is like big deal. So was I. Yeah, but it's like when you're like below 500.
I was 1-15 in 2007. So.
Oh, that's true. But you were young. But you didn't know any better.
I didn't play. You were young. I didn't play on that team.
That was a funny story.
That was
actually a funny story. I heard you tell. Hey, so we like the guys we got.
Really?
Like, what? You guys have one win. They suck.
Yeah, they're bad.
Speaking of Tom Brady, because you guys know him well, Levi has a question, I think, for both of you. Yes, Levi.
Hey, how we doing?
What's up?
I was just wondering, what's up with Tom Brady hating on Nick Foles? He didn't shake his hand after he got beat in the Super Bowl, and he snubbed him the other day.
Huh. Yeah. What's that about?
I'm not even – I mean, okay, do we really think that Tom has some sort of grudge? Like some – he's like – he's so mad at Nick Foles for beating him. Like, do we really think
that – hugged Aaron Rodgers.
I know. I saw like throwing all these old videos going back to like 10 years ago, quarterbacks that he's hugged. I think that was like the heart of COVID. That was like the peak of all like the Tennessee Titans, the Patriots. And then they played on a Thursday night, right? So all that stuff was going on. My impression is that they basically said, listen, you guys get the hell out of here.
Oh, come on.
Don't do anything. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He thought it was halftime.
That was COVID concern.
He thought he was going in for halftime. He didn't realize it was another halftime.
Rob, are you
going
to back me up on this or what?
It was Tommy tantrum. Both of you are afraid to say it.
Oh, that's Tommy tantrum?
Listen, I'll say it. You're afraid. I know. You got to see him. You're going to see him at a reunion soon.
I talked to Tom. I'll say, Tom, how mad were you after that loss? He's probably going to say I was really pissed. So he got hit a lot. I guarantee he was really mad. They lose the game in a bad way, and he ran off the field.
Cam Newton hugs every other quarterback, and he got COVID.
Well, not anymore. He's not hugging anybody.
Exactly. So it was like, hey, we got to be real careful. And then it went back to phase two. It's like, we can hug again? Okay, let's
you
go.
Listen, you don't want to shake anyone's hand after you lose a Super Bowl. So I don't fault them for that.
And then when you do lose a Super Bowl, not that I've ever lost one.
I've lost
But
one.
When you do, I've had buddies, and they just, like, who wants to be that guy that runs into the other guy's party when nobody wants
Hold
you
on, who wants to be the guy with other team's confetti colors falling on you? Like, come on, give me a break. Look at all this
you
green,
were that guy.
This green and white confetti all in my helmet. Great, I'm so happy that we lost.
Is losing, getting there, and losing one, is that the worst?
It's the absolute worst. You would rather just not make it. Say, screw it, I'm just going to have an extra couple weeks on vacation. It's the worst feeling ever. It's the absolute worst. I can't even explain it. That's why when I won, everyone cries because you're like, I can't believe I did this.
Well, how long did it take you to actually get over it?
I never got over it until we won. Because I kept thinking, when I first got here in 2009, everyone was like, oh, the Patriots, Super Bowl champions. Yet I said, yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. It's 2012. Like, we won one 10 years after they won their last Super Bowl. So in that time span, there was AFC championship losses. There was a Super Bowl. There was two Super Bowl losses. So that's like torture. And all I kept thinking about is I need to get to the Super Bowl and win. Because at the end of the day, that's what you dream about as a kid. You want to win a Super Bowl. So when we lost in 2012 in that terrible way – to the Giants, like, it hurt, and I kept just thinking, like, we got to get back. We got to get back. And when you lose, the first thing you think about is all the freaking turtle shots, all the hard work, all the pain, everything, like training camp, practice, the season. You think about the hours you put in, and you lose the Super Bowl. You got nothing to show for it for a Cracker Jack prize of an AFC championship ring that I don't even know where that's at. I think I gave it to my dad.
Wait, so they do give you an AFC championship ring?
Yeah, it's
so
stupid, though.
But there's no ceremony. They just kind of, it's in your locker when you show up one day.
Actually, I think we got ours. We were in a meeting, and Bill was like, hey, your AFC championship rings are in your locker. I'm like, oh, great. So we got
such a joyous occasion.
Thanks, Coach.
So I looked at it. I was like, oh, great. You know, it's got a couple diamonds on it. How much can I get for them?
Yeah, but there are some guys out there that, the Patriots, you guys, we've all been spoiled with, it's like,
yes,
championship
yeah.
rings aren't good enough. It's like, please, get that out of my face. It stinks. You know, but I do know a lot of guys that went to a Super Bowl and lost, and they cherish that freaking championship ring. Like, they wear it with pride, and I'm like, it's kind of like a sign of a loser.
You ain't first or last. That's Ricky Bobby.
Yep.
Christian, did Bill's effusive praise for Kittle strike you as a shot at Gronk this week?
I do have this weird theory, this weird Gronk theory with Bill, and I have not talked to anybody about it. Nobody has sit there and told me anything, but I do feel like it's weird. And I remember asking him, hey, like, Rob, when you retired, you said, hey, I'm retiring. There was like a presentation, like, there, you spoke in front of the team. Like, you got to say words, you got to express yourself. You know, you're going to wear a red jacket one day. You know, with other guys, Kevin Falk, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, just go through the ranks. Any guy that was a big part of this organization got some sort of recognition at when he decided he was done, and Gronk didn't. And I feel like there's something weird about that. It just doesn't smell right to me, because this guy deserves it. He sacrificed his body. He did everything you asked him to do. He took
less
money.
You think Bill feels like
I personally feel, again, this is my personal opinion, this is my theory, that he's still holding a grudge based on how things ended with him. Now, and nobody holds a grudge better than Bill. Maybe Lou, but I go Coach first, and then I go Lou. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's just my – because you should – that's what happens when you retire. Or maybe he didn't believe he was going to retire. Maybe he never really trusted the fact that he was really, really done, so why put out the effort? But even when they asked him at the coaches' meeting, he wouldn't even mention Gronk's name. He wouldn't even mention it. The guy said he retired. I'm Dunsky. And he wouldn't say his name. To me, that's weird.
And why do you think Bill has left himself in the predicament that he's in when it comes to the tight end position?
Well, I think they lost out on the guys that they were trying to get a couple years ago. I can't remember their names, but they all went someplace else. So that they were just kind of stuck in this weird position. They had to go grab Ben Watson, because I think they overestimated how valuable people looked at them, and they didn't. I think they kind of saw the writing on the wall.
The tight end position, to me, I think it's declining.
Useless. Is it useless?
No, it's not.
Christian's
useless.
On. Is it useless?
It's not useless. Okay. It's the quality, the tight end in general, that the whole total package is deteriorating. So you're not getting guys that can come out that are big physical run blockers that can go and catch the ball
down
the field.
That can catch it and hold on to the ball.
I think that
afterwards,
everyone wants to be a receiver now. So everyone wants to run the seam up and down the field. They don't want to be in line. They don't want to block. They just want to catch the ball. They want to be the Jimmy Grahams of the tight end world. But so it's hard to find. You're not going to find a Gronk. Like, you're not going to find a 6'6 guy that can block, that's going to run routes like he ran, that has the ability to catch. Those guys don't grow on trees. So that's the issue. You can't replace a guy like that, because they don't make many of them. You can't find them. So I think that's the issue, too.
So when people
out
say,
of college,
you know,
ranks right now, there's not tight ends that are like that 10
so
years
when,
ago.
So when people say, Bill, horrible GM, and they point to this, there's nothing there to get draft-wise.
There's no Gronks out there, no.
Well, but there, I mean, here's the thing, though. But it's because of college. Like,
it's because of college, yeah.
What you get in the pros is a product of what the college teams provide you. I have coaches that coach the tight end position, and they won't even look at a guy if he's ever has his hand in the ground. He won't even look at him, because he says it takes too much time to develop him, to teach him. I mean, because they're just never used to that hand-to-hand combat. And it takes longer for these guys like a Dalton Keene, like a Devin Asiasi, who are mainly flex guys, to learn how to play the position. It takes years. It's almost like a minor league system that they need.
Jimmy Graham still can't block. I remember we played the Saints, and he tried to block me, and he curled up, you know, like a little, like a wimp, like when you, like, curl up. And you're
like a pill bug when you flick it and it goes in a circle?
I tried to hit him, and he curled up and, like, made a little, like, and I went, oh, my God. I threw him to the side.
He didn't make the noise.
He made the noise.
No, he didn't. He didn't make the noise.
Yes, he did. He made the noise. He made a, and
then
I hit him. I threw him to the side, and I made the play, and I said, go catch the ball. You can't block. Get out of here.
Yeah, but he's probably the biggest puss out of them all.
Yeah, he's a basketball player.
I mean. He's just, I mean, give me the best blocking tight end you ever went against then.
Probably Heath Miller from the Steelers was really, really good.
Yeah, and look at that program. They want those
dude, he was a beast.
Guys.
Not only was he strong, he was a really good route runner. He was fast, and he had all the tricks. So you know all the tricks, like grabbing the hip. He would hit my hip and kind of put me, like, mess me up in my balance, and then he'd wheel me off and, like, get his hips around on me. I'm like, dude, this guy's good.
Same thing happens to me, but nobody else is involved. Like, something happens with my hip and I lose my balance.
Greg's got all the moves too.
Yes,
it was all Miller, right? Was Miller with the Steelers?
Yeah. Arizona State kid.
Yeah.
All right, well.
This has been very insightful.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah. And it's been great having both of you guys on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No,
it should really just be a football players only show.
I know.
One morning, it should just be nothing but athletes. You guys can take the day off. We don't want your job. It's too demanding.
He takes too many reads. I don't take vacations.
You guys get up really early.
I don't take any time off. So, hold on a second. This is Steve. Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
What's up?
Hey, is Christian still there?
Yes.
What's up?
Christian, I tried to call you last week and bet you on the Broncos-Patriots game, being a lifelong Broncos fan. Fortunately, couldn't get through. I want to know what happened last week. I want to hear it. I've already heard it from you, but I want to hear it from you directly.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear directly from you what happened.
Well, what happened was the moon was in retrograde, and what happens when that everybody forgets what they're supposed to do? Listen, no, get the off answer, the phone, you
Christian,
knob.
Just say COVID. The answer
COVID.
Is
it's COVID related.
It's COVID.
They didn't lose because of COVID. It was what did it say? It's either you die because of COVID or with COVID. They died with COVID.
Nah. Someone's at the door.
I know. It's 9 o'clock, guys. I gotta go.
All right. Thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll be
listening this afternoon. All right. So that is Christian Fourier. You can hear him this afternoon from 2 to 6. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Wiggy is off today, and Rob Ninkovich has been doing a stellar job filling in for him. And I know you got to head out shortly and handle all your familial duties,
or go to
work at ESPN. Which
I think I'm going to go to the New Balance store real quick.
Oh,
grab
really?
Some shoes. Why not?
What size?
13.
13. Same. I got big feet, big hands. Big hands and big feet.
No,
I'm
gloves.
A 14, actually a 15 and a half shoe. If anybody's curious,
you're wearing kids.
I've seen you in flip flops. It's not even close. Not even a little bit. Good try.
And of course, Ken is off. Ken will be back on Monday. Wiggy will be back in here tomorrow, and we will have Julian Edelman on the show tomorrow morning.
Squirrel.
And we will have one of the McCourties. What do you, before you go, do you think Edelman is hurt, or what is going on there?
I think he's old.
You think he's old?
I mean, he's not a young kid. Like, he's not.
We think of him as a
like,
young
oh,
kid.
He's 30. He's 25. Like, he's 34. I was retired 2 years.
But do you lose the ability to catch when you get old?
No, I mean, the problem is it's football's a lot more confidence and mental than it is physical. I mean, it is physical. We know it's physical, but there's a lot of other aspects that go into football. Number one being mental confidence. All those things go together when you're playing the game. So, you know, when you're dealing with certain things throughout the season, everyone deals with an injury. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to have to deal with an injury at some point, and that can affect your confidence because, you know, I've dealt with injuries. I'm out there on the field. Like, can I play to the level that I need to play at? I'm here. I'm playing. Everyone that's watching me doesn't know if I'm dealing with something and that I have, you know, an injection to make me feel good and go play. But nobody knows that. They just evaluate you on what you're doing for your performances. So that is pretty tough. And I think Julian, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt every time because it's Julian and the kid's tough as nails. So hopefully he can kind of work through these things early. It's a long season. We know that. But He's not a young kid, and I feel like people are unfairly saying things about Jules because he's 34. I mean, how old was Wes Welker when he didn't play anymore? I mean, guys don't play when you're 34, 35, 36. I mean, think about the wear and tear that happens over the course of not only your football career as a professional, but think about college, high school, peewee. That all adds up. So, I mean, and when it hopefully he can bounce back and he'll feel good in a couple weeks. You know, maybe the extra – well, they already had their bye, so that kind of – that hurts a little bit. So maybe they can monitor him and do a little bit of snap counting as it comes to number of plays on the field and not have him out there as much to where they can have a little bit more juice towards the end of the season here.
When it comes to confidence, do you think the fact that Tom Brady isn't there?
That's that's another thing too. We're not talking about somebody that really gives you comfort when you're a receiver is knowing that as I run my route and as I run everything that I've done in the past, I knew that Tom Brady was going to be able to put the ball on me and I was in the right place at the right time and everything works. Well, you have a new quarterback that you haven't played with. There's confidence. You got to build chemistry. That takes time. And when you don't have the time, like the Patriots don't have and they didn't have, there could be a problem. And hey, I was going to be out, but I was in and I was supposed to sit, but you thought I was going. Like, that's all stuff that happens over time. And when you have put all that together, you put in, you know, Cam being a new guy on the team and trying to run a new offense and Jules trying to understand where the quarterback wants them to be, that all can be an issue. So when it comes to Julian, I know he's going to compete. I know he's always going to be there. And at the end of the day, you got to count on him and you can't count him out. You can't count him out.
There are three breaking news stories this morning, one local, one NFL related and one national.
Ooh, spin the wheel of content.
Locally, there is a panic going on when it comes to Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah, because you people couldn't stay away, so now the businesses are going to wind up suffering. They put all these new restrictions in place.
The Witch Museum?
Everything's shut down.
So they've announced that they are shutting Salem down, essentially.
Basically, right? There are a lot of new restrictions that they're putting in place, according to the governor and Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. specifically the following. Downtown businesses will be asked to close by 8 p.m. this Friday and Saturday.
They love the curfews.
They do.
What is it with the curfews? Is it more dangerous when it comes to the corona after 8 p.m.?
Yes.
Correct.
And on the Mass Pike yesterday, driving home, there are these huge signs that just say Salem is closed.
Yes.
They do?
Yes. October events in Salem are canceled on the Pike for the out-of-state people. Coming from New York
and
Connecticut.
And they said, feel free to listen to the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy's off.
Yeah, I said that too.
So wait, if you have a business in Salem, you now have to shut it down at 8 p.m.?
Wait.
Because people tend to go there?
Wait, it gets worse.
Yeah.
So you also can't have lines outside your businesses.
Okay.
Then next Friday and Saturday, the night before Halloween and Halloween, all businesses downtown will be ordered to close. Period.
That's un-American.
Period. How are these people have been dying to get back to work for the October holiday so that they could make some money.
That's when they make their money, I'm assuming, in
yes,
Salem.
It is.
They have to shut down?
They have to shut down. They're setting up roadblocks. They're going to close down some streets to traffic during the day. They're going to ask pedestrians to leave downtown. Wait, there's more. This is insane. City and MBTA garages are closing to entering traffic early. Non-resident vehicles will be towed from certain city streets. Most commuter rail trains from Boston will skip the Salem stop on weekends. Restaurants can't sell booze after 11 p.m., and Salem will put triple fines in place from Friday to Sunday over Halloween weekend. So just don't go to Salem, basically.
Yeah. Those poor people.
Sorry if you own a business. I mean,
those poor people. But yet it would be okay, I guess, if you wanted to
have a protest.
If you wanted to have some kind of a protest there. Well,
Can we protest the closure of businesses?
Just call it a women's march.
Yeah. Like, how did the women's march in Boston go?
Ken was there. I'm surprised you didn't talk about it.
Scott's talk.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is breaking news. Salem has now been shut down, and there will be roadblocks.
Roadblocks.
It's like a Will Smith disaster movie.
Basically.
Like a post-apocalyptic Will Smith movie that they're going to have roadblocks.
There's one tumbleweed rolling down the street in front of the Ugly Mug.
All right. The breaking NFL news is that the Broncos, maybe based on some concern about playing the COVID Patriots, have put new restrictions in place, which requires their players to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in their cars in the parking lot. Hmm. So they are no longer allowed to eat
Cocoa Puffs in the morning. McDonald's for lunch.
That is insane.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to give them more foot travel to and from the vehicle and exposure instead of being in the facility.
Nothing makes sense.
You could be in the facility where everybody's been tested eating breakfast.
Or you can go back to your car.
Out of somebody onto your own face mask.
Right, which is contaminated.
And wipe off their spit and their blood off of you.
Jesus.
But you can't eat within 6 feet of somebody. Yeah.
And then on the national level, and I've been waiting for this all morning, the Ghislaine Maxwell deposition documents are out. And it appears from a legal deposition point of view that there is confirmation that former President Bill Clinton traveled to Jeffrey Epstein's private island.
Uh-huh.
And Lord knows what he did there. Maybe some sightseeing, perhaps some reading.
Reading the machine.
Yes.
Scrapbooking.
Look at the non-surprise registering on my face hearing this news. Well,
you're not shocked by that?
I'm nonplussed.
What do you think he was doing at Orgy Island or on the Lolita Express?
What I was doing.
Hey, what's up? What do you mean? Travel.
Hey, Jeff.
What do you mean by travel isn't?
Define island.
A joint is just like a cigar.
I was on a boat in international waters.
Landlocked. Jermaine Wiggins.
Are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
Can somebody turn up the hot tub?
Make some soup.
I'd really like it at 101.
I mean, is this an issue for the former president that he was on the island where all the orgies were taking place? Or?
Yeah, Hillary will just have whoever published that report taken out.
Yeah, not a good day for that guy.
No. If you hit send on that document, you should go into hiding.
All right, this is John from Brookline. What's up, John?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Hey, John.
What's going on, John?
I'm a business owner, and I'm actually a big fan of your show. Always listen. And,
thank you.
You know, I own restaurants and nightclubs,
yeah.
And obviously we're the last on the list to open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I don't get, I mean, I know you guys got to have a show and you got to debate and all that stuff, but stop putting fuel on fire in the sense of course these businesses are hurting and of course they're going to hurt and it sucks to be closed on Halloween in Salem, but that's what we got to do to get over this thing. I mean, that's, you know, you can make fun of all the science and all the idiots and this and that, but that's what it is. In order for this country to get over this pandemic, we need to go through some hardship that includes wearing a mask, social distancing, closing businesses.
I don't necessarily think I make fun of science. It's just that science doesn't agree on anything. There are you can find a scientist to back up whichever point of view happens to be your own point of view. So I guess so.
Not
you're
true.
So you're saying that because what?
Unless you're a president, you can get somebody, some radiologist from Stanford to come in and stand by your point. Other than that, majority of the scientific world is saying shut down, social distance, wear a mask until we get a vaccine.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, yes,
see,
true, we can get somebody.
I'm not motivated by politics in this, so I don't run around and suggest that every little thing in the world is driven by some sort of a political motive, which it kind of sounds like you do. So I don't. Yes. I don't care whether it's the president or the governor or the mayor or whomever it is. I don't think that a business that has existed for however long in Salem, Massachusetts, should have to shut down for a day on what would be their busiest day of the year. Because
it was the busiest night of the year for me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's what it is right now. And they're not doing it to be spiteful. I think this governor has done an amazing job being a Republican in our state. But I know you don't agree. But
no. I think Charlie Baker has done some things that are right and some things that are wrong.
I think nobody knows this virus. I mean, this isn't something everyone knows about and they're reacting to it differently.
Well,
this is
sure.
something that sprung on all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So to hold these guys and call them all these names, trust me, I want to be open more than anybody. I've been eating out of my pocket and getting loans and this and that, and all the PPP and all that stuff that came in went to the landlords and the employees, but at the end of the day, we got to get this virus over with.
Are you concerned about your employees who don't have jobs?
Yeah, of course. I think about them daily.
Okay. But what are they doing? What are they doing if you're not allowed to open up? Where's their money going to come from?
They're all seeking other ways of making income. They're all, doing whatever they have to do, just like I have. Yeah. You know.
And where are texters want me to ask you where your restaurants and nightclubs are?
To be honest with you, I'd rather keep that out of
I
it.
See.
But
I
they're
see.
All mostly in downtown Boston, I've been in business for 30 years.
And been in business for 30 years.
Yeah, mostly in the theater district.
In the theater district. All right, John. Well, I'm glad you called to express your opinion. I mean, Ninkovich was talking earlier about how he wasn't going to get the vaccine, and all these people are losing their mind over the fact that you said that. I mean, you can't even have an opinion about getting a vaccine.
I just don't feel like it's a safe thing right now.
Right.
Like, you don't know. There's no. If you're willing to go take a shot and you don't know what it's going to do to you, then go for it. But we all have an opinion, and we all have a right to express our opinion.
I don't think you do. If your opinion is different, you don't have the right to express it.
Well, that's not correct. And if everyone wants to go get a vaccine, they can get a vaccine. But for me, I don't feel comfortable with it.
Oh, I just got an apology from a texter who earlier called me an idiot.
Mm.
And they're apologizing and saying that I frustrate them sometimes, but they had a breaking point and they love the show. So,
they called us idiots for saying the Clinton thing was not breaking news because the info came out in the Netflix documentary a year ago. And I let them know that, Ghislaine Maxwell's deposition was unsealed this morning.
Yes.
That's the breaking news.
Well,
it confirmed what was speculated about previously.
Yes.
People are not wrapping their heads around that part of it.
Deposition.
We're not just reporting that all of a sudden we heard Clinton was on the island. Like, we've talked about it before.
Deposition, that's a legal document.
Correct.
I mean, that could be an issue. I would say. Yeah. Legal schmegel. That's what I say.
Define legal.
All right, hold on. Rob, before you go, because I want you to get out of here.
Yes, sir.
We are so late. This is still the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, we're that late?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord, Curtis.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break then and say goodbye to Rob.
See you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you. Rob, thanks for coming
in, Rob.
Had a good morning. I'm going to go
you.
Get some shoes.
All right. Thanks
Enjoy.
for filling in for
Keep
Wiggy.
Keep the gator up.
We'll be right back.
The gator's on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.